From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter with this news update. Today is the start of early voting in Juneau's municipal election. But instead of heading to the polls, registered voters should have received a ballot in their mailbox. Here's how this year's by-mail election will work. Juneau's election officials started thinking about the safest way to conduct this year's October 6th election soon after the COVID-19 pandemic came to Alaska. Many poll workers and election staff are older and more at risk for complications from the disease. City Clerk Beth McEwen says they were looking around the country at what other municipalities were doing. Anchorage was holding its regular by-mail election at the time. So she reached out.
And they very graciously offered to let us use their 10,000 square foot facility with their by-mail election processing equipment.
The Juneau Assembly approved holding the local election by mail in May. That set off months of work for the clerk's office and a flurry of emergency ordinances that allowed the city to meet deadlines for ballot propositions and candidate filings before the ballots had to be sent to the printer in Washington State. Every registered voter in Juneau should receive a ballot at their permanent address. They went out September 15th and started arriving in Juneau mailboxes 2 days later.
If you haven't received a ballot within a 3 to 5 day period after the 15th of September, please do contact our election hotline, which is 364-7401.
Once you get your ballot, here's how it works. Pick your assembly and school board candidates and vote on the two ballot propositions. Then stick it in the return envelope. There are a few options for returning the ballot. You can mail it with a stamp. It has to be postmarked by October 6th. You can leave it in one of the big white drop boxes outside the Douglas Library or in the Stater Harbor parking lot by 8 p.m. on Election Day, or you can bring your completed ballot to a vote center. They'll be open starting Monday until the 6th at City Hall and the Mendenhall Valley Library.
If you need to vote in person, if for some reason you didn't receive a ballot, or you want to just bring your voted ballot in and have one of our vote center staff members be your witness on your ballot envelope, that would be another opportunity to come into the vote center.
Each ballot return envelope has a line requiring a signature from a witness, but the assembly will decide on Monday whether to waive that requirement for this year's election. Even election night will look different this year. Usually, candidates gather at City Hall to watch results come in. Instead, McEwen will gather up the ballots and get on a plane.
I'm going to physically take those on an airplane with me and another worker, and we're going to go up to Anchorage and process those with the Anchorage Vote Center.
That means the earliest we'll know election results is October 9th. Those results will still be unofficial until October 20th, when election certification should happen. It will be interesting to see how this year's by-mail election affects voter turnout. When Anchorage held its first by-mail election in 2018, it saw record turnout. Some people may miss the communal parts of voting this year, like treats at the Douglas precinct or parents bringing their kids into the booth with them. But those who love to proudly wear their I voted sticker on Election Day don't have to worry. The mailed ballots come with one. And you can wear it as long as you like. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter. More than 100 people gathered near the Diamond Courthouse in Juneau, downtown Juneau, on Saturday evening for a silent vigil in honor of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The 87-year-old justice served on the Supreme Court for 27 years. She died on Friday. KTOO's Rasha McChesney has this story.
RPG, we thank you for your life. The vigil lasted for about 40 minutes. A few people sang songs, "We Shall Overcome" and "This Little Light of Mine," and there was some movement, people lighting each other's candles or shielding flickering flames from the breeze. But for the most part, the crowd was silent and still in the darkness. The mourners were mostly women, and they joined others in Fairbanks, Anchorage, and thousands across the country in grieving for the feminist icon. Ginsburg was the second woman appointed to the Supreme Court.
It's kind of hard to have tears when you have a mask on.
Kristen Shelton stood with her arm around her 10-year-old daughter, Freya.
Well, I think most of anything, we're very thankful that the girls have, and we have, but then the girls have so much opportunity because of what Ruth Bader Ginsburg's done in her life, and we're inspired by her.
Shelton says she mentioned the memorial to her daughters, and her 12-year-old, Amelia, first floated the idea of going.
We all felt it was important. I don't know if we had an idea. It was a collective idea, I think.
Shelton says she's worried about the future.
It's been a hard year, so I think it's kind of crushing, but
We just do everything we can. That's all we can do. So one step at a time. Trying to, already we've donated a few political campaigns today and talked about it as a family. And yeah, a lot of concern though, for sure.
Other women at the memorial said they want Congress to honor Ginsburg's widely reported last wish that she not be replaced until a new president is installed. But it's not clear that's going to happen. Her death opens a vacancy, paving the way for President Donald Trump to appoint a third justice to the Supreme Court. His appointment has to be confirmed by a simple majority vote of the Senate. And in the days since Ginsburg's death, there have been calls for senators to wait until after Election Day, allowing the next president to nominate her replacement. But in his statement expressing sympathy for Ginsburg's death, Senate Majority Leader Republican Mitch McConnell pledged that senators will vote on whomever Trump nominates to fill her seat. Alaska's Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski has said that she doesn't support a vote to fill the vacancy Ginsburg left so close to the upcoming election. Her counterpart, Republican Senator Dan Sullivan, hasn't weighed in yet. During the vigil, a retired Juneau attorney, Mary Alice McKean, read from two of Ginsburg's more well-known opinions, including one from a 2013 case that had direct implications for Alaska. It challenged a portion of the Voting Rights Act that mandated that several states, Alaska included, had to get a pre-clearance from the Justice Department before changing electoral laws. And that pre-clearance was required in places that have a troubled history with voting rights. Alaska used to require English language literacy tests as a qualification for voting, and that impacted the ability of Alaska Natives to vote. And the Supreme Court ruled in favor of striking down that pre-clearance requirement. In his majority opinion, Chief Justice John Roberts essentially made the argument that portions of the Voting Rights Act, like pre-clearance, had worked so well that the country didn't need them anymore. And Ginsburg disagreed. She wrote that throwing out that pre-clearance oversight when it had worked and was still working to stop voter discrimination was like throwing away your umbrella in a rainstorm because you're not getting wet. And that dissent helped spawn a new generation of fans and the nickname Notorious RBG. In Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
Researchers from the University of Alaska Fairbanks began looking at big changes to one of the state's biggest glaciers today. As Claire Strempel reports from Alaska's Energy Desk, it's melting so rapidly that it could create a new bay north of Yakutat.
What's happening at the Malaspina Glacier may be the largest landscape transformation underway in the United States.
So you're looking at something becoming a big ocean bay, essentially, that's the site of a small state.
Martin Trufer says he doesn't like to pick on Rhode Island, but the Malaspina is bigger. He's a glaciologist with the Geophysical Institute and a physics professor at UAF. He's studied big ice from Greenland to Antarctica.
The Malaspina is kind of a hard glacier not to pay attention to if you're a glaciologist. It's a really big glacier.
Malaspina Glacier sits in Wrangell-St. Elias National Park and flows onto lowland plains on the north side of Yakutat Bay. As it retreats, it's opening up lakes that connect to the ocean. The National Science Foundation recently awarded Trufer's team $1.3 million to study the Malaspina's retreat.
The goal of the project is really to suss out a bit more how likely that is and what rates are we talking about, you know, where are we going to be in 50 years, where are we going to be in 100 years?
His team will measure how fast the glacier moves and how fast it's melting in different places. They'll pay special attention to the front of the glacier, where the ice is turning into those lakes. They plan to find out whether the Malaspina will disappear completely based on different climate models. Trufer says meltwater from this one glacier makes Alaska a big contributor to global sea level rise.
And some of these changes that we're seeing are really actually hard to kind of wrap your head around of what's actually going on. And this is really one of those places.
Trufer says it's too soon to tell what the impacts on Yakutat hunters and fishers may be, but he plans to make community connections and find out. This isn't the first time a big glacier has melted in Alaska. Yakutat Bay used to be full of ice from the Hubbard Glacier about 1,000 years ago. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Claire Strempel.
That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. For more local and state news, go to ktoo.org. I'm Adeline Baxter.